Reading Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Last week I attended a minister's conference and was very struck by the last of the sermons, which emphasized the need for us to take sin seriously. Well, what I'd like to do is to give some background to how we resist sin and how that relates to us as individuals, as human beings. Because before we become Christians, we find ourselves unable to stop sinning, to resist sin. And that's because each of us is born with a sinful nature. We see this in verse 4 of the psalm, where David says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." And we see, just give me a moment, please. I've actually quoted, I do apologize, from the wrong verse. I do apologize for that. Let me just go back to Psalm 51. It was actually in verse 5, I should have quoted from. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's a rather awful thought, isn't it? The idea that we were shapen, we were put together in the midst of iniquity. That's talking about inside our mother's womb. Because we inherited a sinful nature from our first father, Adam. So all of us have been born with an inclination to sin, a tendency to sin. It's rather like if you were to shut your eyes and walk in what you think is a straight line. I might invite you to do it afterwards, to blindfold yourselves and to try and walk in a straight line. And we could see downstairs. Will you make it? Would you be able to walk in a straight line? And my answer is no, you'll deviate, and we can prove it. I'm sure one of you will think you can do it. I can see someone in the back who thinks he can do it. And I'll be interested to see if he can. Maybe I'll be proved wrong. But I would suggest that what will happen is that you will veer to the right or to the left. You won't make a straight line on your own. And it's just an illustration of what happens in our hearts. Now, we've got two babies here. In fact, they're being very well behaved. So it doesn't look as though what I'm going to say is right. But I think if you ask their parents afterwards, they will agree with this statement. And I think in your own experience, it's not the first time I've said this, that you don't have to teach a child to be naughty. And even their crying, sometimes it's a perfectly legitimate crying because they're hungry. But then often the crying is because they want mummy's attention. And that's not because they need mother's attention, but they want to be the centre of attention. Now, it's easy for me to say they, but I have to say we. We in our sinful nature want to be the centre of attention. And that's our problem. And this tendency to do what's wrong stays with us all our lives if we remain unchanged by God. Even when we come to church, we hear God's word preached to us, we know what we should do. We may even want to do what is right. Because as we hear the words of the Bible, we know it's true. But then this is our experience in Romans 7, verses 14 to 15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Sorry, we need really to pause for a moment. You see, it's so easy for us to come to the cross just to find forgiveness. Something that John Owen wrote, and I will give you the passage if you'd like it. I'm not going to read it because I think it's too long. But it's a wonderful passage that we were read at the conference. For what he said was, when we come to the cross, we need further conviction of sin. We need to see what our sin cost the Son of God. And then we get an idea of the depravity of sin, its dreadful consequences. And as we come to the cross, it's there that we do find Christ has paid for our sins. And it's when we come for the first time in repentance that God gives us a new heart. We are born again. Unless we're born again, we will not see the kingdom of God. I've mentioned that already. Friends, that's why we need this new start. You see, it means when we do have that new start, that we have a spirit in us that instead of dragging us down and making us want to sin, it points us to Christ. And we suddenly find we have a desire to do what is right. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11, we read this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So, if we are committed to a course of conduct that involves dishonesty, sexual immorality, stealing, greed, giving ourselves to alcohol or drugs, friends, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 is wonderful. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, because we're given a new nature. And the old is gone. It's no longer remembered. So friends, we need the new birth. Have you chosen Christ? Have you been born again this morning? I ask you that. And I urge you to make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And to make your choice for him. Because once you've made that choice, it's made for good. And we now lead a new life. But there is still a battle. There's a battle in the Christian life. There's a battle between right and wrong. Because we have now two natures. You see, you had your old nature, the one you were born with, and when you become a Christian, you have a new nature. The problem is that the old nature and the new nature, the Bible says, are contrary to each other. They're enemies. So it's like living in a house where you've got two people who hate each other. They can't stay together, can they? They hate each other. One is contrary to another. This is how Paul puts it in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You see, there is a battle that's going on in our hearts. And the answer is to crucify the flesh, to deny the flesh, and to live for the Spirit. Friends, there is a problem. That we can be Christians and be following the right way, but then we fall into sin. And we think, it's all right, I'll be forgiven. And we go and we, as I said just earlier, we rush to the cross for forgiveness. See, David was the equivalent in the Old Testament of a Christian. He was looking for the Messiah that would come from his descendants. He had no desire to sin. When he woke up that fateful morning. Indeed, no doubt 5 minutes before he sinned, as someone else said, if someone had said to him, in 5 minutes' time you're going to commit adultery, and after that you will have a murderous thought in your heart, and you will cause to be killed, the person who was married legitimately to the woman you have just committed adultery with. He would have had your head, wouldn't he, as the king? But you would have been right. 5 minutes, and he'd fallen into dreadful sin. Friends, it can happen to anybody. But what we need is to understand what true repentance is. And I think we see that in these verses in Psalm 51. Guilt has come upon David. It didn't come upon him for 9 months, quite shockingly. Nine months he lived with himself, having committed adultery and sent a man to his death. But then the prophet came to him and told him his sin. And then he realized the depth of it. You see, our consciences tell us about our sin. We know when we've gone wrong. What are we going to do? Well, my suggestion is that what we need to do, this is what John Owen was saying, is we need to go to the cross to understand what we've done. That as Christians, we have despised the blood of Christ. That we've trampled over it. We've disregarded it. We've caused Christ, as it were, if it were possible, which it isn't, to be re-crucified on that cross for us. But thank God, Christ's blood pays past, present, and future. But we're not to be those who take advantage of that and just think, well, it doesn't matter how much I sin because Christ will forgive me. What shall we say then, as Paul wrote in Romans 6 verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How is it that we keep falling into the same sins? It can only be that we don't have a proper fear of God, a proper understanding of what sin does to Christ. It's sent him to the cross. And every time we sin, we put another nail into his hands, as it were. Oh, surely that should not be. And so, friends, when we have that guilty conscience, let's go and just before we take the forgiveness that is ours as a repentant sinner, let us gaze once more upon the cross and see what it cost him. What it cost him to redeem us. That when we say sorry and we get up off our knees, we don't just go back and commit the same sin all over again. You see, I think David understood this. Once he had come to acknowledge the depth of his sin, and the prophet Nathan really painted a picture for him and said, you know, a person who owned everything went and took this poor man's lamb from him, and David said, this man must die. But he was referring to David's own sin. Friends, our sin is so shockingly awful. It causes Christ, as it were, pain every time we sin. Pain, of course, 2,000 years ago. It was all finished on the cross. But let us not despise that sacrifice. Oh, friends, you know, verse 7, we read, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. But before we do that, let us look at what we've done. Verse 14, David had realized, I think, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. He realized that he deserved death. He deserved eternal punishment. And do we realize that? That is what where our sin will lead us if left unchecked. Friends, you see, we read here in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. You see, coming to church doesn't please God on its own, does it? Saying our prayers, reading our Bibles on their own, it's not going to save us, is it? Coming to kids' club isn't going to save us. What does he require? Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. You see, these burnt offerings were to point to Christ and his offering. They didn't save somebody on their own. Really, they couldn't do anything. They could cover sin only because Christ would redeem each sinner who had repented and was looking to him for salvation. Now, this is the sacrifice of God. Have we offered it? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Have you known that time where you know you've done wrong? You can't lift up your head because of your shame. Well, this is the shame that David had. A broken and a contrite heart. Have you had a broken heart? You realize how deeply you have offended and grieved God's Spirit. O God, thou wilt not despise. Let us tarry next time that weight comes in our hearts of conviction of sin. Not be too quick to go to the cross to lighten it. But let's first go to the cross and realize what our sin has cost the Son of God. And then we will be in a better position to take that forgiveness, to cry out to God and to know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we next confront that sin, we will think twice before being led into it, because we'll realize what it costs the Lord Jesus. I guess we will realize too the pain it's cost us as our consciences are pricked, as we realize what we've done. We're made to see the seriousness of what we've done. Oh, friends, may we have a hatred of sin, a fear of God that will lead us to look to him for grace to prevent us falling into sin at that time of temptation, that time when I'm about to lift my hand and sin against God, that as I lift my hand, I cry out to him and say, Lord, help me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And just at the point where I'm about to commit sin, I find there's grace to help. And I stop myself. This is true Christianity, isn't it? True Christianity is not constantly falling into the same traps, the same elephant traps, and then crawling out and only to fall into the next one. No, such were some of you, and yet we've been cleansed and sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus so that we won't sin, so that we don't have to sin in that same way again. I'm not suggesting that perfection will come this side of the grave. It won't. But we will know a measure of victory that means we won't keep sinning the same sins day after day. May the Lord help us to live godly lives, so that we can, going to verse 13, teach transgressors thy ways. Teach transgressors about the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach the transgressors how they might lead godly lives. And know that those transgressors are not just listening to our words, but looking at our lives and saying, yes, that person means it. His life genuinely has been changed round. And his example is one worth following. We want it said of all of us, don't we? Follow John as he follows Christ. Put your name there, because they can see a consistent life coming out of the repentance they showed for their sin. Friends, may the Lord help us to be faithful Christians. Amen.